BlogTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
Stupid. Worthless, no good.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Retarded, big mouth, know-it-all asshole jerk.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
You can ignore me if you try.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
I'm a man of respect around here. They love me around here. I'm a swell guy.
Heartbreak Mike.
Excuse me for being a virgin. I'm sorry.
The Omega.
Don't you ever talk about my friend. You don't know any of my friends.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah. Of rock and roll.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Don't stop listening or I will find you.
WTR Sunday Night.
The next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got done with WWE TLC.
And a bunch of other leathers.
Oh, yeah. Tables, ladders, chairs, kendo sticks,
ropes,
fire extinguishers.
No chance.
Tonight was kinky enough.
At least in this promotion, they know how to tie knots. Not let's tie someone up and not actually tie him to anything just around his waist. Oh yeah, mallets. We had mallets.
Oh yeah, there was a mallet.
There was a mallet.
Big comical Harley Quinn mallet.
Yeah. That was a thing too.
God, this pay-per-view name's gonna be really long next year.
Remember when they added stairs?
I was thinking about that today when I saw all the other weapons. I was like, why isn't just like every one of these matches just a no disqualification match if you're just going to use all these other weapons?
Because one match, well, just it. Anyway, it had KFC. That match had KFC.
Ironically, so did Tim.
Oh God.
Letters, oh my. Let's get into it.
So this is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we are down a Heartbreak Mike. So I guess we are up one producer, Sir Rockin.
Yeah, I'm here.
He's there.
So excited.
Grudgingly dragged in.
Yep.
Mallet.
But the one at the head of the show, as always, most of the time. The one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, that would be me interrupting, as usual, the intro. But then again, I'm not the only one. I'm just the only one here who normally does. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a Tables, Ladders, and Chairs match edition of WTR Sunday Night. Thank you very much, everybody, for all the well wishes and shit concerning the fist fight that I got into a few weeks ago.
Was it really a fist fight?
Well, yeah, it was a fist fight with a table saw. What? Everybody's asking me, so the table saw won, huh? Says, no, you know, I kept my finger, so I'm calling it a draw.
So why does one go into a fist fight with a table saw?
Long story short, I'm cutting some wood, plywood, and it's like the final day before we're expected to get a dump of snow here just outside the Rocky Mountains in Canada. And so I'm doing my damnedest to try to get everything done outside that I can get done, so I can bring all the materials that I'm working on indoors and work on it while watching the hockey game and the Monday Night Raw on Monday night. This was Monday night. What was it? 3 weeks ago now? Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty much just about 3 weeks ago now. Anyway, I'm cutting the last piece of plywood. I'm making a set of another set of wrestling ring steps for a second wrestling ring that I got contracted to build. Anyway, I'm working on cutting the last piece of plywood that I need to cut. Plywood's dry everywhere except the very end of it. I didn't realize it because the wet side of the plywood was on the bottom part. And as soon as the saw got to the wet plywood, it bucked. And my left hand is on the left corner of the plywood. It's 12 inches wide. So my hand's a foot away from the blade. The plywood bucked on the blade and pushed my hand upside down and over on top of the blade.
Well, okay then.
Shoot it right up. So this is why I'm calling it a fist fight, because I looked, technically I punched the blade of the table saw.
Tim Stein, everybody.
It bit back.
So, see, it's usually the one who loses a fight that describes it as a fight. The other one just called it a cheap shot. So that's what you did. You took a cheap shot at a metal blade.
Oh, yeah, sure. It says sore winner. Actually, I'm sore, and a lot of people figure the table saw was the winner. So.
Yeah, well, it was. So anyway, he...
Yeah, well, it didn't lose. I'll give you that much. But, yeah. So, They saved the finger. They took a slice of skin out of my arm, put it on top of the finger, plastic surgery, skin graft, the whole bit. It's really cool. I'm looking at my hand and I can see, I did not know tendons were actually white in color.
Hmm.
They're white. Yeah. It was kind of cool. In a very gross moment,
kind of. It's kind of cool. I could see my tendons.
Yeah. And, my friend rushes me to the hospital and, comments that, she's never seen anybody as stoic about pain in her life. Because I'm just, they're not making any noises. I'm just hurting my teeth and, you know, not doing anything. So, but it's because I couldn't talk.
Yeah, I'm trying to save my finger. I'm not going to say a word. Ow, 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 ow.
Yeah, I didn't even say that much. Was just
no,
surprising.
It's what's in your head. It's what's in your head. It's... Ow, yeah. Ow, 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 ow. I'm trying
well,
to save my
actually
finger.
Going through my head was, oh, fuck. But, yeah, I guess you could translate that to ow.
Yeah, keeping it clean, safe.
For the primetime audience, yeah. It's not like we have to worry about the primetime audience with this webcast. But, so, yeah, I got the skin graft taken care of. I've got motion and movement in my finger. And I've actually got healing on the sides and the tip, which... the doctors say that I actually, could grow my fingernail back, but physiotherapy will commence in approximately 4 to 6 weeks. And, basically that's the update, to this point that I've been giving everybody on Twitter and Facebook. And like I said, thanks everybody for your thoughts and your concerns.
So let's get into a pay-per-view now, because it was tables, letters, chairs, and all the other letters combined.
Well, I got an idea. Why don't you tell us about the pre-show? Because, you know, I was at work.
Pre-show, and I was at the grocery store.
Yeah, the pre-show happened. Booker T and the Revival got into it. Twitter went, oh, my God, Harlem Heat versus the Revival at WrestleMania? Oh, my God, that's a dream match no one ever thought of. But oh, my God, I kind of want it about now. But no one should ever want that.
No, you don't want it now.
No one wanted it then. You don't want it. No, just forget about it. Everyone forget about it tomorrow.
Guess what? Stevie Ray was in his prime last time you saw him, and he wasn't good then. We got the good one already, and he retired a long time ago.
I'm gonna get you, sucker.
So we don't need that. We don't. But Humberto continues his winning streak over Andrade, picking up the win. Good matchup. More dissension with Zelina and Andrade after the loss, but the ending was cool with the reverse Frankensteiner and then a moonsault. Andrade was busted open. One of many people tonight to get busted open.
God, I can... remember commentary going, I've never seen anything like that. Bailey did it. Yeah.
Didn't they do it at TakeOver?
They did it at TakeOver. Yeah.
The memory of a goldfish.
Candice LeRae did it.
Yeah. 3 weeks ago. Three.
There you go. I've got one question, and this is directed at Omega.
What?
Omega. New Lego.
New Lego what?
He's wondering what the hell you're doing.
Oh, that noise?
Yeah, the noise.
Oh. Okay. I didn't know that was coming through. Tim, have you ever seen Short Circuit?
Oh, you're putting together Johnny Five.
Yeah.
Oh, number five is alive. I love that movie.
But it's a extremely cool fan of mine 3D printed one for me, but it needs a lot of work to get everything fit right and all that. So I'm.
Yeah, I was reading your tweet about that and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see it all finished. So yeah, don't forget, you know, I may be a little bit older, but I'm still a geek.
Right, right. I know.
Yep. But, did he 3D print it in dark gray, right?
Yeah, it's dark gray. I don't have to paint the whole thing.
Just the bottom part before the treads.
Okay. Yeah, it's not the greatest 3D printing. You know, it's not like a $1,000 printer he was using or anything, but.
I'm sure you're not complaining.
No, not at all. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah. So thank you to the fan for sending, Omega the, Johnny Five, 3D printed model.
Yeah.
If you're so inclined, I'm into Star Trek. The movie version of the Enterprise NCC-1701 Alpha. If anybody wants to 3D print a model of that for me, to sand down and assemble and paint.
Pretty sure they make models of that.
Well, I'm pretty sure they make models of Johnny Five. What the
no,
hell?
No, they don't! That's the point. That's why someone made it. The motherfucker had an entire movie where the B-plot was getting toys, and he never got a toy.
I'm not sure about that. I'm pretty sure I've seen a Johnny Five.
No.
It might have been a Canadian release, man, because the movie was filmed in Toronto.
Trust me, I would know if one existed. It does not. There's been unofficial models, but that's about it.
All right. Well, I should not argue and debate with you when it comes to models and toys and stuff.
Damn right.
So yeah. Anyway, as soon as you get it put together, make sure you post pictures. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, I will.
That being said, did anything else happen on the pre-show?
No, let's get to the main show.
Ooh, hey, the New Day taking on the Revival. Yeah, how do you like that? A telematch kicking off the main show.
It's a ladder match for the SmackDown Tag Team Titles. This was good. The thing about this matchup was Big E. I don't think he enjoyed this match. Cause he looks so uncomfortable moving ladders around so much. Like he was trying to set up that one ladder spot and just, yeah, he's like, you could see the look on his face. I'm like, oh God, I gotta move more ladders, get another one.
Kind of got the impression that he was one of those very few professional wrestlers out there who don't actually enjoy working with ladders.
I mean, he is a bigger guy. Like he'll do a few dives through ropes, but he's not exactly someone who would be comfortable going high.
He'll do the spots. He just shouldn't be the one moving the ladders. Doesn't seem like
Charlotte was doing better on her ladder than Big E did on his.
Kind of.
Well, okay, maybe not, but I was trying.
Okay, so Kofi did this tornado DDT spot in this matchup that could have gone really, really bad.
It could have.
He saved it, but it could have gone really, really, really bad if he slipped. And he looked like he was slipping.
Yeah, we pretty much got what you can expect from a match that has Kofi Kingston in it where he has a chance to do shit.
Yeah.
We got a bit of a rope walk on him when it looks like he was going to get crotched or thrown over. It was a nice move, the flying cross body off the top rope.
The match was good. I enjoyed this matchup. New Day kept their titles. It was very good. Good opener. Enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, you know, with the Revival's air quotes first ladder match, and they did okay. You know, like you say, the match is good. I didn't expect New Day to retain, but you know, it's all good. I picked Revival. Yeah, I don't know why. I just did.
Yeah, I don't know why you did.
Did you?
Because I figured they would wind up winning.
Well, you were clearly wrong on that one.
Well, apparently so.
Like the guys who just got a podcast of their own and are waiting for their third man to come back.
And they just got the belts 4 weeks ago, so.
Yeah.
So there you go, yeah.
Anything you want to add about the match, Omega?
No, I mean, it's a fine opener. Like, there's still part of me, like, everyone in the match going, oh, Kofi had a great 2019. They don't mention what else he did in 2019.
They did. They said he got the title. They mentioned it in the match.
Side note, what is it with the intern and all of these Llama Love?
Oh, yeah. Make sure you listen to Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, no.
This is what happens when I say random shit to plug this show.
That doesn't exactly answer the question, but okay.
Anyway, we good on this matchup?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Buddy Murphy, Aleister Black, slow to get the crowd, but they got him, and this was hard hitting as shit.
Blood will do that.
Oh, poor his nose. God damn.
That was getting busted the hard way. But yeah, you're talking about slow to grab the crowd. The people are a little more into the hardcore and into the kind of match that they were giving us. Me, for example, I was into the match right from the opening bell. I enjoyed this match.
It was a bad spot for them to be in because they were coming out after all the big ladder spots. It was like, oh, we're back to wrestling. Okay.
Yeah.
Crowd's going to go a little quieter for it. But they got them and they hit hard throughout this entire thing.
Oh, yeah. They were out to brutalize each other. Like, that's the exact kind of match you need to have to get people's attention after a big car wreck match, like a ladder match.
So I made mention to this on Thursday, talking about the build to this one. It's like, people go, oh yeah, he knocked on the door and that's about it. No, the subtlety of what they've been doing, and this is what they've been doing with everyone on Raw who they're looking to push, they're giving them all winning streaks. Aleister, he's been on a winning streak. Buddy Murphy, winning streak. Andrade, until Monday, was on a winning streak. So whenever they lose, it actually means something. Buddy losing in this matchup meant something because he actually came into a fight on a winning streak, not 50-50 booking.
But I thought wins and losses didn't matter.
Well, got some bad news. They do actually matter.
I learned from Uncle Brian that wins and losses don't matter.
Yeah, well, they do actually matter. Especially when you need new stars on the B show. So that's what they're doing. They're building up stars. They're building Aleister Black. For what? I'm not sure, but they're putting him in a spot where he'll be credible 2, 3, 4 months down the line if they keep the winning streak going.
Yeah. The question now is, which one's the B show anymore?
Raw's clearly the B show.
I know. I put an argument for NXT on that, but.
In terms of the top two brands, that's supposed the top two brands, the ones that get the most focus, the most viewers, Raw's the B show and SmackDown's the A show. In terms of priority, not in terms of talent and best show, it's priority. It's SmackDown, Raw, NXT, in that order, priority-wise.
Fox Money will do that.
Yeah, it will. So Aleister Black got the win with the black mask that came out of nowhere.
I love the combination of the back and forth they had leading up to that.
Oh yeah. The V triggers, the running knees, all that. It was good. Very enjoyable.
Yeah, no, Murphy played his part, pretty much to a T in this match tonight, so.
And the announcer went, you know, he lost, but he gained something out of the loss, so. Yeah. You can tell that he's in their plans. They're building up his credibility. He won't be on the same level, but you don't need everyone on the same level. Because that's been the problem forever. Everyone's been on the same level. No one's elevated. And that's why everyone's 50-50 and no one gets over. So yeah, people actually need to get over.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of, you know, smart marks who think they know what they're talking about generally assume that if you lose, it steals your heat, steals your momentum. There are cases where a loss does you just as good as a win. And Murphy falls right into that category tonight.
Has anyone seen, to those people, Stone Cold, one of his best showcases was a loss to Bret Hart.
And it all depends on the follow-up. If they drop the ball, then he doesn't get over. But if they actually follow up with it, it'll work.
Right.
One match that pissed me off at a pay-per-view involving Stone Cold, he was taking on Triple H. He lost to Triple H. It was a cheap win for Triple H, you know, DX, Attitude Era, the whole this shit. It happened in 1999, and it was, I can't remember the name of the pay-per-view. It was like September of 1999, whatever the name of that was. And Stone Cold was, that match was main event. And the look on Stone Cold's face at the end of the night as they were ending the pay-per-view and going off air, told more of a story than what they told in the ring. And that was a hell of a story they told in the ring.
Trying to remember which one you're talking about, because I don't remember that being in 99.
I'm pretty sure it was 99, because it was the paper.
Oh, it was No Mercy, No Mercy, that's what it was.
That's the one, yeah, No Mercy. Because that was the first pay-per-view that we saw at our new place. Me and Owen's mother, we had just moved into Canyon Meadows. And had our cable hooked up, and that was the first pay-per-view that we saw at the new place. Weird how I'm remembering shit, but whatever.
Yeah, and that was like right before he went out for good with the neck surgery, like 3 weeks later.
Yep.
All right, throwbacks. Anyway, what's next?
Next one, we got the Viking Raiders versus the OC.
Presented by KFC.
Oh god, yeah, and I'm mad at
KFC. Was it? I couldn't tell.
I wrote a letter of complaint to KFC tonight.
What was the letter, Tim?
I had KFC for dinner, and I got a 15-piece bucket, fries, and large gravy. 8 pieces were drumsticks. What the hell? I had 1 chicken breast. I had 2 wings, 8 drumsticks. The rest were thighs, which is okay. I like thighs. But so I wrote a letter telling them I'm pissed off and all that stuff.
Letter to KFC listening. Tim always wants at least 2 breasts.
Well, it only makes sense to have 2 breasts. Minimal.
So speaking of pissed off, the fans were at the finish.
Well, me too.
Double count out.
But, you know, I still have a beef with those helmets that the Viking Raiders come out with.
Why?
Because I'm a descendant of Vikings. The cultural misrepresentation pisses me off. The Vikings didn't have goddamn horns on their helmets. And especially even if they did, they wouldn't be made out of bendable plastic. Vinyl plastic. So, it's a pet peeve.
People.
Yes, and the Road Warriors from the movies didn't wear football armor.
People were mad because the food got wasted after the match when Carl Anderson got put through the table.
Oh yeah, like they were fine with them taking the food away from the family. It was knocking the food on the table. It pissed people off.
Yeah, it was. Cause, you know, food. Yeah. Probably a rematch on Raw.
With more KFC? Oh, goody.
Probably no KFC.
I just love that. Scare the family, take away their food, and everyone gets excited cause table spot coming up. Then they dump the food like, that gravy's sacred, how dare you?
Well, they had the seasoned corn and there were the mashed potatoes. Did I see biscuits on that table? I'd be pissed off.
How good was that? Why did you bother moving it? It's plastic bowls.
I mean, you can't get biscuits at KFC in Canada. I was mad.
Like, I doubt they were going to harm anybody with a box of potato wedges. Just leave it on there and let the table spot be extra messy.
That would have been better. And probably would have pissed off PETA.
Oh, PETA was already pissed off because, hey, we just saw a family devour, like, chopped up chickens on television, or I guess internet, whatever.
Pay-per-view.
If you eat animals, you pay-per-view. Don't like, yeah, you like pets, you don't like animals. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it, Miley Cyrus.
And yes, there were biscuits and gravy because Festus was there.
Yeah. It pisses me off when biscuits get wasted because can't get the KFC biscuits up here and they're good.
How?
Most places I've had the biscuits at KFC in the States were good.
Like how is that? It's like, that's a thing that they throw in no matter what you order. How is it possible that you don't get them there?
Well, it's a different country. I mean, like, you stop, you think about it, biscuits and gravy, that's sort of, you know, that's southern food, right? Southern cooking. You can't get good biscuits and gravy anywhere in Canada because nobody knows what it is. I'm a second generation Canadian. My grandparents came up from the States. I'm related to the Wild West outlaw Jesse James. My ancestors come from the southern states. And I believe in Southern cooking. If it's got, it's got to be fried, smothered, and covered.
Question, Tim.
Yes.
Do you get dog food up in Canada?
Only for the dogs.
Good, because we got one in our next matchup. We had dog food in the tables, ladders, and chairs match. Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin.
There is definitely a theme.
It's a transition.
Yeah.
Yes, it was, because
definitely a theme.
Because the first line in my notes for this matchup was the dog food can to the face. By God. That was a spot.
Well, you know, as far as this match goes, they didn't do anything that wasn't expected. Everything they did was kind of expected.
It's a Roman Reigns match. It's plotting. It's slow.
It's a Roman Reigns Corbin match.
Yeah. Anytime you need, because Roman has a decent offense. It's not great. Yeah. It's decent. Which is good for a 10-minute match. When you go longer, he's exposed. And this is a long match, so.
Well, you know.
Also, we have to book him as an underdog, even though he's built like a Samoan bulldozer.
One versus all, Mega. One versus all.
He kind of is a Samoan bulldozer, but this.
That's Umaga.
I was kind of surprised. They kept me in the match. Despite the fact that Corbin was involved. never liked Baron Corbin.
Corbin got beaten up just enough to keep me interested. It's like, oh, Corbin's in pain. I'll watch a little longer.
Yeah, there you go.
And then when
I'm still not used to near 100% support for Roman from the fans in the arena.
It's still a thing. They kept me interested because, hey, out of nowhere, Dolph Ziggler comes around. Yay, it's Dolph Ziggler. Yay, security gets beat up. Woohoo. Then you get the revival. Yay, everyone's beating down on Roman. Oh my God, Roman makes his Superman comeback. Superman dive. Woohoo. Everyone's
It's matches
excited.
Like this that remind me that Jeff Jarrett's booking now.
Yep. He's a producer.
This was very NWA TNA.
And then, well, you know, the babyface gets beat down by four men. Chair shot to a face. End of days. The king. Lives on. Yay.
I don't have much to say about this match, other than what I've already said, except that at one point where he started, actually beating the shit out of everybody before the revival showed up, I'm feeling this is something they should have done with Roman like three goddamn years ago, make him look like unstoppable.
Which I then said they've done many times, but.
Yeah, but not the way that we've been bitching they should have and haven't been doing. But anyway, there's more to talk about with this, but we'll get there later.
Because this match never, ever ends.
This is the match that never ends. It goes on and on and on, my friend.
Some say on the quiet nights, you can still hear this match happening.
I'm sure somebody will probably take it upon themselves to actually change the lyrics to that little ditty and put it to this match.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, up next, a match that I found weirdly entertaining.
Time to let him in.
The Miz taking on Bray Wyatt.
Normal Bray.
Not the Fiend.
Funhouse Bray. Happy-go-lucky Bray.
Hi, everybody!
How weird is it to see a WWE, like a pro wrestling champion, walk down to the ring with that song?
It's weird. It works. But it's weird.
It worked tonight. Sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going.
I was just going to say, I think we can safely say that the salvation of Bray Wyatt's multiple character is a success.
Yeah. Like, there was part of me that was wondering, like, why would you do this match without being the Fiend? Well, one, you don't want to overplay the Fiend as it is. You know, you want to show that, hey, Bray can also defend his title too. But then I realize, like, Bray gets a level of creative control over this. I don't think this match happens unless he's completely cool with doing this to the character. And I was kind of wondering why would he agree to that? And then we have this match where he's smiling and laughing as he's on the bad end of a one-sided fight.
He still just wants everybody to be friends.
This is the thing. That's what happens under that mask. Ah,
it's creepy.
It's a subtlety. It was super creepy to watch.
but I loved it so much.
It was good.
Okay, the match itself, not the greatest. Well, I'll say that. It's not a great match. Storytelling.
No, this is a storytelling match.
Yeah.
Yeah, this match was about Bray's character. It was not about the fight with The Miz. It was not about the match at all.
And they alluded to it on Friday after, you know, the puppets invaded Monroe Sky's bedroom, that Bray learned how to take a beating from Abby. Like, he's learned tricks, which is why he took this beating and just kept on ticking. It was good. The storytelling worked. You've now aligned Miz and Bryan in some weird way, with Miz standing up for Bryan in this matchup, and with what happened afterwards. Bray got the win.
Yeah, before we get that far, I just want to comment on the crowd's reaction to this match. It was very quiet for the most part, but you pointed it out, Rock. The crowd was popping at just the right spots that Bray threw out there.
Everything Bray did got a reaction.
What you heard, like, it's a lot of silence from the crowd, but at the same time, like, it wasn't like there was no boring chant or anything. No one started chanting AEW, CM Punk,
no,
anything like that. That was captivation.
What was going on?
That was captivation.
Yeah, and I made a comment to Rock that the crowd was reminding me of a Canadian crowd more than an American crowd. An American, like, the difference is very subtle, but at the same time, it's night and day. I've been to wrestling shows in the States. I've been to wrestling shows in Canada. In the States, everybody's rowdy, and if they love something, they don't let you forget it. If they hate something, they let you know about it. In Canada, if something's stupid, it gets cheered and catcalled, but if something's really, really, really good, and it pulls you in, the crowd gets, like, unnaturally quiet for the majority of the match, and cheer where they're supposed to cheer, and then they just shut up and watch the match.
It's clear everyone's invested in the Bray Wyatt character. They're interested what the Fiend does, what Bray does, what in all aspects of it, which is why it's getting over. It's why it's the number one merch seller on WWE Shop. It's why he has everything available on Shop. T-shirts, hats. He is full out, you know, you're selling rabbit jam and stuffing and everything.
And the, oh, and hey, here's a mystery box. Oh, it's sold out already.
It's twice now. Both of them sold out.
Immediately.
Yeah, that's something.
There is a level of merchandising power here we have not seen since, like, the days of Stone Cold.
He's selling puppets. He's selling everything. Whether it's the Fiend stuff, whether it's the Muscle Man shirts, it's everything. Everything's marketable for this character, which...
Like, stuff is getting sold out.
Yeah, which is great for
him. And it's like you said, that we haven't seen that that kind of level since Stone Cold.
Stone Cold, yeah. John Cena.
In his prime.
Well, it's the same reason why that you see a crowd like this tonight, where they're just captivated by what they're watching, even though it's not, you know, the traditional exciting wrestling match you expect. It's so different. And there's so much just raw character happening in a land where character is very much missing.
Mm-hmm. So after Bray won, he got more excited. He was excited, and then he went to the outside. He found the mallet, and then the Fiend appeared on the on the video wall.
Jumbotron. One thing I noticed about that mallet was very one end of it had a very artist rendition of the mask for the Fiend.
What's the Fiend? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's in there, and then he sees the Fiend on the thing, and he's coming. He's coming. He's so excited. Oh my God, he's here! He's coming! Oh my God! And it wasn't the Fiend. It was Daniel Bryan.
Oh shit.
No, it was Bryan Danielson is what it was.
Fully, head fully shaved, beard cut basically off. And
except for the whiskers, it looked like Daniel Bryan's
debut.
It was a Daniel Bryan we saw when Miz was coaching him.
Yeah. Except for the facial whiskers. His hair is a little tiny bit shorter, into the bristle cut, but, yeah, he looks way better. He really does.
And he destroyed Bray Wyatt, and that's the thing. They lured Funhouse Bray out of the Funhouse to allow Daniel Bryan to get some revenge. Good storytelling, because he didn't beat up the Fiend. He beat Bray Wyatt.
He beat up Bray, yeah. And, like you're saying, reluctant pairing coming up between with him and The Miz.
So Bray tweeted, Dear Daniel Bryan, nobody likes a bully. I was so excited to see you, sad face. P.S. The Miz is tough. P.P.S. He's coming for you all. And then P.P.P.S. Bray looked jacked. Pass it on.
I love how they're just, like, continuing this with their tweets.
Yeah, Bray's great at that.
It's just, he's so good at it.
He gets it. Like, he gets it in ways no one's gotten it in a long time.
Now, my one question about this pay-per-view tonight is how come we didn't have Seth taking on Kevin?
Because Seth
Kevin got beat up, yada, yada.
But Seth broke one of his fingers.
Yeah, he broke his pinky.
Oh, that's what happened? I did not know that.
Yeah, he broke his pinky last weekend. He had it taped on Monday. So they decided, alright, let's keep him out of the ring.
I thought when he was talking about his hand was broken, I just thought that was like storyline.
No, it was legit.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then that's why.
Yeah, that's why.
Fair enough.
And you save that closer for a big Raw or the Rumble.
You're slowly building to it. My favorite pay-per-view of the year coming up.
Same. Up next, tables match. Lana with Lashley taking on Rusev.
And here's your standard cool down match before your main event.
So everyone hates this stuff. This whole angle with Lashley and Lana and Rusev.
Just not my taste. Personally speaking, hate it. Objectively, they did it right.
They did it right. But goddamn, Rusev is over. They got him over in this storyline. He is so likable.
Now, was that their intention? Because I think that he hit that mark even, you know, this match wasn't needed.
But the story, I'm just saying, the match wasn't needed, but the storyline has gotten him to this point. Like,
yeah.
He's over. Lindsay was at Starrcade, and she mentioned everyone really loved Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
So being in that live crowd, they really, really like him. So
I asked you a question, and you never answered, and I'm thinking you probably don't have an answer. Like, were Lana and Rusev told not to appear with each other in public during the storyline?
They probably were, but they never usually appeared together in public before the storyline, so.
Well, that's not 100% true, because both of them are huge Nashville Predator fans, and they have a tendency to go to the Nashville Predators games whenever they can.
Also, let's remember that the last time they did a big storyline with Lana, it got blown because of how they were seen in public.
Yeah, true.
Well, this match was what it was. It was a tables match. You had a guardrail.
Guardrail spot, because we can't put someone through. We can only put someone through a table once.
So we had to put somebody through something. Hey, let's use guardrail. Yeah, those...
Which is awkward.
Bend like that very easily.
He had to go walk around to the one spot that had a piece of guardrail that was covered up by a blanket.
It's like, okay, walk all the way around. Modern rail. One section with the 80s left over. That's good.
Lashley got the win. Yay.
I was sure Rusev was going to wind up winning this way. But
if Rusev wins,
the story's over, right?
So in my predictions for this match, Rocky, remember why I said Lashley would win?
No.
Because WWE hates us.
Yeah. But we all know what's coming. They're going to be building to a wrestling wedding. It's been years since we had a wrestling wedding on television, so that's always draws ratings.
I can't wait till this one goes wrong.
I can't understand how they don't figure out that they've only ever been able to strike gold with this idea once, and it'll never happen again.
Because it struck so well that time. Everyone thinks, oh, that one. Oh, let's see if it's as good as that. Nope.
How many people don't know which one I'm referring to? Seriously.
I mean, it's been a long time now.
Oh, yeah.
No, wait, you're not talking about ODB and Eric Young?
Oh, I thought he was talking Billy and Chuck.
Oh, brother.
Did somebody say 3 minutes?
Old man Bischoff.
That'd be an insult to idiots.
I credit that. It's like, I didn't know it was Bischoff at the time.
All right, so question. Do we all remember what the last WWE wedding was?
The last wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, what was the last? God, I know we've had one since Kane and Lita.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had Billy and Chuck since then.
No, Billy and Chuck came first. I'll give you a hint. Someone had the hairstyle they had in that wedding tonight. And we've only talked we've talked about one hairstyle.
Oh god, it was Brian and AJ.
Yep.
I 100% totally forgot about that.
Raw 1000.
She walked away from the altar because she got a job as general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Scheiße.
So there you go. Dropping facts. Alright. Let's get to the main event.
TLC match. Charlotte and Becky taking on the Kabuki Warriors?
Hold on. Before we get to that, I forgot the one thing. The Street Profits are out. They're promoting stuff. And then a wild brawl breaks out with Roman and Corbin and Big E and Ziggler and Buddy Murphy and more. Yay. Then you get to the main event. TLC Kabuki Warriors versus Lynch and Flair. Okay. This was good. Kairi Sane is 70-something pounds. Should not be doing table spots.
Should not be doing chair spots.
That too.
She
didn't know how to hold a chair.
Pitching chairs.
Like, she was holding the chairs the wrong way.
She's holding the wrong way. She tried to throw one in the ring and clipped herself with it.
Yeah. She got one point with the beginning of the match. Becky and Joe were just tossing her around from announce table to announce table.
That was kind of funny.
But this one, we got the ropes, which was a clever spot, tying Becky up to the ladder.
I mean, you want to take advantage of Kairi and the sailing background? There you go.
Which Samoa Joe mentioned. He brought up her sailing background coming in with all those tying of the knots. Did bring it up. Joe was really good tonight.
Well, yeah. Joe's been like phenomenally good in that role to the point where I don't want them to think, he should stay there.
Sure.
I want him killing people again.
Mm-hmm. When his hand heals, he'll be back. Charlotte got locked in a chair with a kendo stick, almost, kind of. It was a hard spot to do. This was
good. Yeah, Charlotte's a little big for that chair to do that.
This was good, but Kairi at one point just looked completely out of it.
Now, three of the four women involved in this main event looked like they were main event TLC contenders.
Yeah. Like, Kairi...
Kairi's not on that list.
Yeah, I hate to say, well... This is really the first time Kyrie's been in like this type of situation.
Yeah.
So like this, you could tell she was kind of awkward at it. She was being a little bit cautious with what she was doing.
Well, isn't this like a double first for Kairi?
Well, I mean, it's a women's tag team TLC. There's a lot of potential firsts there.
Yeah. But one thing that I did notice, and I was trying not to let it distract me, but when wrestlers are doing their damnedest to help their opponents in a match, it stands out. And I'm watching, and Becky and Charlotte are doing everything they can to help out Sane. At one point, when they're trying to lock Charlotte in the chair after they tied down Becky, Kairi kind of screwed up with the kendo stick, and she only put it through one of the chair arms on that recliner, or that,
yeah,
you know, that office chair. It was supposed, yeah, to go through both of them. And I'm watching,
yeah,
this, and I'm like, there's Charlotte, like her hands are locked in, and Carrie's holding the other end of the kendo stick. And the first thing that I want, the thought that went through my brain is, Charlotte is working her ass off to make it look like she's locked in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, it's a computer chair. It's an office chair.
Yeah.
It swivels. And they have to hold that, they're holding that kendo stick down because Kairi can't get it through both of the handles, which means she's torquing that and trying to turn the chair by accident.
Yeah, it's spinning the chair. And there's a couple other moves, a couple other things that happen with Kairi that's like, dude, she should not be in this match.
Part of
Don't
it,
get
I think.
Me wrong, I love her, but this is not her match.
And part of it may have been knocked a little loopy.
Mm-hmm.
Called a hunch on that one. Maybe not a concussion, but loopy is the best way to describe it. I hope Charlotte's okay after taking that table spot she took. Her head just sort of smacked it and went to the ground really, really hard. That was a little scary. Clever finish. Becky was climbing the ladder. The rope that was still tied to the ladder, Asuka pulled to pull Becky down off the ladder. Asuka would climb up to get the win. But TNA booking, oh my god, look over there. Do you see that?
Wait. What?
Over there. It's a brawl. It's a wild brawl. Cause Jerry Lawler
Oh, you mean that thing is completely devaluing the win of the main event right now?
Yeah, that thing over there. Cause Jerry Lawler said they were still brawling. He got it in his headset. They were still brawling during the match. So you knew they were coming back out. And boom, they're brawling. And oh my god, Roman hits a spear. Oh my god, we're out of time.
Yeah, I'm gonna just look at that, and that's like WCW booking at its height, but that whole thing was planned. It wasn't something they threw together at the last minute. And everybody out there, in wrestling land, don't think for one second that they did this to diminish the main event or take away from it. It's continuing a storyline that is just going to build and build and build and build and get over yourselves.
It was also done as smoke and mirrors to hide the fact that Becky Lynch lost. You don't remember it because you saw the brawl, but Becky lost. Smoke and mirrors. Smart, but that's what it was.
Well, bottom line, this was not any last minute throw together booking. This was
No. We're not calling it last minute. We're not calling it last minute, but it does come across as is. Wow, like the Kabuki War, like here are these belts that they're still trying to desperately get over because they still have not been given a serious run with them. The belts still haven't been given like a serious like story or anything to build credibility to them. Here's
they're
this.
Actually in the middle of doing that with the Kabuki War.
They're in the, that's but, the point. That's the point. That's the point. In the middle of that, hey look, the Kabuki Warriors just defeated Becky and Charlotte, the two most successful women in the company, possibly in the company's history, they just win, and who the fuck cares, cause Roman's still brawling.
It's Roman Reigns. It's Roman season, y'all. Roman season. Cause he lost, so he had to look strong at the end. Say, 50-50 booking.
Yeah, but my whole thing was the people bitching that they did this because, you know, oh, Becky lost, the main event wasn't all that great, so they did this, or they're taken away from, you know, cause I'm getting, you know, looking at Twitter, I've been seeing a few tweets from both sides of that coin, right? That's not it at all. That's like I was saying, this was booked it way in advance to happen, is all I'm saying. Does it take away from the fact that the Kabuki Warriors beat the two strongest women on the roster? Yes and no. Again, it's a 50-50.
And it's going to lead to Becky versus Asuka for the title, probably at the Rumble, when it all started, Becky lost the SmackDown women's title to Asuka there. So we'll probably go for the rematch there, so we'll see how it goes.
And I don't know, maybe I'll be in the minority, but if Asuka wins the belt back, I wouldn't be too bitchy about it.
I don't think she wins the belt back. I think Becky overcomes her only real defeat.
I'm in total agreement. I don't see her winning the belt. I'm just saying that I wouldn't be upset.
So, Tim, pick'em results.
Yes. What was your question?
Pick'em results.
Oh! Let me call up the email, because it's buried behind there. There we go. All right. Congratulations to everybody, except for Rob, coming in 14th place. One right, six wrong. Jenna, Michael P., and Mike, 11th place, three-way tie, two right, five wrong. I tied with the Magic 8-Ball, for Christ's sakes, three right, four wrong.
Yeah, that's not good if you tie the Magic 8-Ball. Just...
Yeah, well, you didn't do all that much better. You tied with Amy and the intern in sixth place, fourth, four and three. And I'd like to say a special hello to Amy. I'm not going to get into why, but a special hello to our friend Amy Simons. Fourth place, Lindsay and Subway tied. I think this is a first. 5-2.
There you go.
What?
I said, there you go.
Yeah, there you are. Tied, first place, we have a three-way tie, Chris P with the Jobber and Omega. You guys all went 6-1.
That's two pay-per-views in a row. So I'm happy.
Yeah, well, not too shabby. Now I have to admit that my pick'ems were basically based on more or less wishful, hopeful thinking, as opposed to what would probably really happen, and my results bear that out. So,
but that's not the only results we have tonight.
No, there's some more results, and I'm going to just hang up now because it doesn't involve me.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
And I blame Mike.
It does involve you.
That's why he's not here tonight, because you know I'd tear a strip off.
So tonight's the end of WTR Fantasy, the season where we had duo pairings, which we're going to continue to next season. So get ready. For the week, leading the week, we had Team Canadian Chocolate with 23 points. Good job. You won the week.
Holy shit.
Team One Braid had 18. Team Geek Phrases had 16 for the week. But overall, go ahead. The overall scores, Team Canadian Chocolate came in
third.
Dead last.
Third?
Not even close.
In third?
No, I think dead has to be in that phrase.
With 209.
It was a dead heat between me and Mike. We came in third. Get on with it.
294 points.
Shut up. Even crack three. Oh. I'm going to write Mike an angry email and complain.
I mean, you were the one who won at Ronda Rousey, and she never showed up.
Paul saying that it was Ronda Rousey.
No, he did make mention that it was you who won at Ronda Rousey. Make sure you get Ronda, is what you said to him.
Well, Ronda wasn't leaving at that point.
She had already left at that point. You were hoping she would return. She didn't return. What boils down to me and Lindsay versus Omega and Brent. 507 to 457. Myself and Lindsay got the win.
You guys keep cheating all the time. I don't know what.
I mean, No. Take the loss gratefully, because that was back and forth all season.
Hi, Lindsay. She's listening. Say hi.
Hi, Lindsay. How are you? Congratulations, dear.
Congrats.
And now we hear from her.
We won!
Omega, I think we've been
first ever co-champions.
Woo, woo.
Hey. Shout out to everybody though, because everybody did really, really well and had fun. So at least I hope everybody had fun.
I hope everyone had fun, but I don't want to say everyone did well. There was a certain team that just sort of lagged behind a lot.
Shut up.
The luck not with them.
I mean, if Tim showed up, maybe they would have had a better chance of winning. He didn't show up for the draft, so yeah. We won.
Go us.
Bring it for next season. Why do you think you were set up, Tim?
Set up for a fall, that's all.
Hey, next season you can do better.
Yeah, well, the teams will change, so we'll see what happens.
No, it's the same teams.
We're not keeping the same teams.
Oh.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Mega and Lindsay can team up.
Nope. It's me and Lindsay. Mega and Brent.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Yep.
Switch teams.
Okay, Omega can have Mike and you can have Brent.
Nope. Same teams.
See, nobody wants Mike. Sorry, Mike.
So there you go. That's our show.
There it is, everybody. TLC 2019 in the books, the last pay-per-view of this year. There's debate as to whether or not it's the last pay-per-view of the decade, because some people are of the school that the decade starts with the zero, and other people are of the belief that the decade starts with the one. This is not a debate I'm going to get into. Anyway.
It's the last pay-per-view of the decade.
It's the last pay-per-view of the year. Are we gonna have a show next Sunday night, the Sunday before Christmas?
I don't know, it's your show.
I don't know, maybe not. We'll see what happens if there's anything to, do. Maybe we'll just come on and talk Christmas movies. What do you think, Omega?
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Alright, Lethal Weapon or Die Hard? More of
Fuck
a Christmas
off.
Movie.
Fuck off, they're neither.
They're both.
Lethal Weapon's more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard. Period. I don't care what Bruce Willis says.
They're both Christmas movies. Anyway, tomorrow night.
Not movies, because they take place at Christmas.
It's a Christmas movie. Anyway, tomorrow night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
At least Lethal Weapon actually takes place on Christmas Day, and they mentioned that it's goddamn Christmas. So, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, the Raw Post Show.
I already plugged 11 p.m. Eastern.
Fortnite with Friends.
Yeah, Thursday, Saturdays, Fortnite with Friends, twitch.tv/WTLF.
Wait. Use creator code RocketSock.
Hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner.
Here you go.
FTC things.
Thursday night is another edition of multi-time, multi-award winning The Rock Radio Show with multi-time, multi-award winning host, Lindsay Ward.
Yes, we'll be live Thursday night to review Tables, Letters, and Chairs. And the day after Christmas, we'll be live with Jingle All the Rock. We need your questions for Ask the Rock, so send them in. Well, talk radio at Rock Radio Show at Lindsay Ward. They can be wrestling, they can be sports, they can be anything you want. Tim can ask us some dumb, stupid questions if he wants to. He can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio or at Rock Radio Show. For hashtag ask
dumb, stupid questions.
You can ask us anything you want.
I will do my darndest to find somebody to come up with a dumb, stupid question to ask.
But if you ask a dumb, stupid question, you'll get a
get
wise
a dumb,
answer.
Dumb, stupid answer.
There you go. So let's ask the Rock on Jingle All the Rock the day after Christmas live.
Go, yeah, but of course that's like a week and a half away.
Yeah.
Before that, next Saturday night, Midnight is sure as close to get to it, the Weird, Wacky, Unusual, they ran over Grandma with a reindeer, CB Radio.
Supposedly, we're going to have the 12 days of CB Radio this year. Subway's working on it. We'll have that for you on Saturday.
We're doing in 2 hours.
Yeah, we're going to do a Greater Than Great debate on Samuel L. Jackson movies.
Ooh!
Because it's his birthday.
I heard of these mother flipping snakes on this mother flipping plane.
So what is the greatest Samuel L. Jackson movie of all time? Find out Saturday night, midnight ish. CBRadioLive.com.
You gotta love when network TV changes the swear words.
Yep.
Yeah, so pay attention, stay tuned to social media concerning a WTR Sunday night next Sunday. Coming on the air, it's not going to be anything heavy. It'll be all light and airy and pre-Christmas breezy. Just a relaxing evening by the fireplace, real or imagined, with eggnog, real or imagined, with the gang. Just, you know, taking it easy for an hour and a half.
Oh, before we continue on, because we have more plugs. I just need to mention one thing, because I know he's listening. Dakota Kai turned on Tegan Nox. That happened.
So. Did you have to let that cat out of the bag?
We all saw it. Just making sure he knows it happened.
Boy's got to face reality at some point.
It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. WTR Sunday on both Facebook and the Twitters. Tim is now going to plug his Twitters where you can send llamas to.
Yeah, enough of the fucking llamas. Anyway.
Okay, fine. Send them random photos of...
naked women.
Pigs.
No llamas.
Pigs.
Oh my god, I said that out loud. Anyway.
You did.
Don't send pigs unless it's in the shape of bacon. Follow me.
Oh, hold on. Send them at
Flames. What?
At Flames Forum. Send them pictures of bacon.
Don't do it. Anyway, quit interrupting, fucker.
Bacon candy canes, bacon.
Shut up.
Go on.
For the dumb
blankets,
jokes.
Blankets, pillows.
Stop it. Dumb jokes and the, tweets about sports and, updates about, you know, just inane general shit. Follow me at Flames Forums for the serious, controversial and political side, uncensored, no holds barred opinions. Follow me at Voicing Sanity. And if you're one of those snowflakes, you're likely to be offended, and very easily follow that account.
At Flames Forums for bacon bowls, bacon bits, bacon balls.
That's enough. Okay, Omega, plug something.
Send bacon pictures too.
At Flames Forums.
Shut up.
So, yeah, you can find everything I do on the internet under the name TJ Omega, unless you go to Facebook, in which case you'll need to search for TJ Reviews. Other than that, you can find me over on Twitter at TJ Omega. You can find TJ Omega on YouTube with a ton of content. And for a little bit more content, you can find it at TJOmega.net.
Also, you can send pictures of raw bacon at Flames Forums.
Shut up. Get on with it. Shut up and take it.
Follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free and support the channel. Use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. That's a hashtag ad, hashtag Epic Partner.
Are you done? Yes, you are.
No, raw bacon, the thicker the better for Tim at Flames Forums.
Okay, that's enough. We're getting out of here. Good night, everybody. And we better get out of here before I punch him with a broken finger.
So, you know, more bacon at Flames
Forums. Nice.
WildTalkRadio.com.